May the Lord bless you. I'm so glad you came. Good to see all of you, Rosie and Brett. Good to have you this morning. Matt, good to have your parents with us this morning. Bill and Naomi. Joanne. Okay. I'm close. So anyway, we're glad to have you. I want to reiterate a membership workshop coming up on the 19th. And many of you have been coming and a while, and yet you're not a member of our church, this is a great time to find out more about our church on the 19th of November. Also, this Blessing Sunday that Matt was talking about is not only, we're going to be bringing foodstuffs for people in our church as well as people in our community, but also this will be an opportunity for you to share your greatest blessing of the year. Okay, so begin to think about that and write that down and let me know if that's something that you're going to do so I can tell you how long you got. Okay. So we took up a love offering for our neighbor next week because of, right? I'm saying it right. Next door. Took up a love offering because of the loss of their 17-year-old daughter. And you as a church gave, at this point, $839 for this family. And there were others who said, I can't give this week. And so we're going again. Yes, Sandra? The way we have our online thing set up, unless it has changed, you can't do it on, you can't designate online. So, good question. And you guys are such a gracious, wonderful, marvelous family. Matt put out a declaration that we needed a new stove a few weeks ago. And I told the church, you know, we've got one upstairs that we are able to use. But you have given us almost $3,000. Or our new stuff. So about that. Yeah. So I want to, again, thank you. You guys are so marvelous. We're going to wait a few weeks to see if there's a Black Friday sale. And see what we can do. Regarding that, but I just, you guys are so loving and caring, and I appreciate you so much. You guys go above and beyond, and it's just amazing to me. So I want us to, before we begin our sermon, I want us to do the Lord's Supper together. How many of you, so the elements, Cynthia has the elements, the back, if you did not get them, raise your hand, and then we will make sure you get that. We've been talking about Israel recently, we're going to be addressing that again today. But the promise that the Lord's Supper actually came out of the Passover that took place with Israel and God and the promises to Israel, and leading them out of Egypt, and it was a remarkable thing. But when Jesus was with his disciples, and they were participating in the Lord's Passover together, he said, "This, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. You've never even been able to imagine the covenant I'm going to make with you." And he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he was looking toward the next day. Said, "This is my body that's broken for you. He knew that he was going to be whipped. He knew he was going to be scarred. He knew he was going to be mangled by the things that were going to be done to him. He knew that there would be scars in his wrists, scars in his ankles, his feet. He knew there would be scars on his brow. He knew there would be a scar pierced his side. You know, we sing a song, or I've heard a song. I don't know that we sing it. No scars in heaven. You heard that? And I believe that, except for Jesus. He's going to have scars. He's still going to have his scars because of the sacrifice that he made for us. And so he says to us, his children, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he then tells us to take it and eat of it. But let's bless it first. Okay, so Father, we come before you and we thank you for this gift that you've given us. And Lord, you even told us that your body was broken for our healing. Lord, there's a whole lot more than we can imagine that goes on in, in this process of taking in this broken bread, symbolizing your body. And so, Lord, with all of the intentions and all of the effects that you intend for us, we receive your body in Jesus' name. Amen. And then Jesus said, he took up the cup of wine and he said to his disciples, this is my blood, which is shed for you. There's no without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And his desire is that he's going to take away our sins. And in his, he knew what was going to take place on the cross. He knew that his blood would be shed. And in that, he was telling his disciples, when you trust me, my blood runs through your veins. You become holy. And so he told his disciples, you take and drink. So, Father, we come again. We bless this cup. And we thank you for the gift of life that your blood gives. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we receive this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Jeannie. That's right. His blood runs through our veins. And we're going to be talking about some blessings of the Lord that comes because of our trust in him. And he's the one that makes us worthy. We're not worthy on our own. He's the one that makes us worthy. Bryce, could I ask you to get my cup and get me some more water, please? Thank you. I know you. Don't get it out of the toilet. Okay. Why don't we pray for Israel this morning? On our overhead, we've got a prayer that I would like for you to pray with me. I think it should be the next slide. Okay, let's stand together and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Can you see that okay? All right. There's on your bulletin, there's also the, if you can't see this. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of oh, here we go. Let's do it again. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Next slide. If you've got a bulletin, why don't you read it off your bulletin? Thank you. All right. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Amen. You may be seated. So, in the Old Testament, Israel was chosen by God for specific purposes. He likened the choosing of Israel to a marriage relationship. A husband and a wife chooses one another and makes a covenant with each other to live together for life. They choose to be faithful to one another. They make a vow to God in that regard. And so God and Israel had this kind of covenant. It was almost like a marriage relationship. God would be faithful to Israel. This was his covenant. I will be faithful to you. And Israel said to God, I will be faithful to you. And Israel would say, I'm not going to go after any other gods. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to serve you alone. I'm going to be obedient to your commands, and I'm going to follow you. That was Israel's covenant to God. And God says, well, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to protect you. That was God's covenant. It's kind of, you see the marriage relationship kind of thing. Well, many marriages are broken because of unfaithfulness. So too was Israel's relationship with God because of their unfaithfulness to God. Now, God, Michael shared last week that God hates divorce. And I think one of the reasons he says that is because of the damage that it does to the families, the children, to the spouse, to in-laws. I mean, everyone is impacted when divorce happens. And it's an ugly thing. God says he hates divorce. And yet, because of the unfaithfulness of Israel, there was a break in this relationship. Israel was unfaithful to God. And God sent a number of prophets warning Israel of dire consequences if they didn't turn back to him. And this went on for hundreds of years. And prophet after prophet, turn back. And it's almost like a child when you tell them, I'm going to spank you. I guess you can't do that now. But, or maybe you can. But you don't follow through with the consequences. I'm going to ground you, and you don't follow through with the consequences. Then pretty soon they feel like, nothing's going to happen. Well, God kept warning and warning, and finally he said, okay, I'm going to have to punish you. And the relationship was broken. And here's the deal. Though Israel rebelled against God and they broke covenant, God never broke his side of the covenant. That's incredible to me. He's still calling them back to himself. He still loves them. He still wants a relationship with them. Now, let me stop here and just let me say this. This is not a political message. Okay? When sides are taken over what God says and over what the culture says, and politicians pick it up, then the message is more of a moral message than it is a political message. And I need you to understand that. I'm not speaking politically today. I'm speaking morally today. One of the prophets that we find in Scripture that was a picture of this relationship of Israel and God was the prophet Hosea. You may remember him. His wife's name was Gomer. And her relationship with Gomer, it's a picture of a wayward Israel. Because here's the deal. God told Hosea, I want you to marry a prostitute. And it's like, what? And I'm sure Hosea had to question that. And I'm sure he had to just in his heart seek God and say, am I hearing you correctly? And finally, he did what God said. He married a prostitute. Because here's the deal. God wanted to show Hosea and he wanted to show Israel the way that they were treating him. Now, she committed adultery on Hosea. I don't know how many times. It appears that it happened several times. As a matter of fact, one of the children's name was Lo-Ami, which means, you are not my people. And it appears that Hosea, that probably was not his child. Okay. And I'm sure every time she would run away, God would tell Hosea, go get her. Go get her. Go get her. This is a picture of God's compassion, of God's love, of God's care for his people. Because he kept telling through the prophets, come back to me. Cajoling them, urging them, gently, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's the way Hosea went. He presented himself to Gomer, come back, come back. I love you, I'll take care of you. I will protect you. I will be faithful to you. Come back to me. She kept running away and kept running away. Now, today, we say that when a person commits adultery, that they're having an affair. Which sounds worse, having an affair or committing adultery? See, in God's word, whenever there's sin, he states it as sin, and we try to make it a little softer. I'm trying to make it a little softer. But what he was showing Israel is that you've been committing adultery on me. The relationship that we had as a marriage relationship, you continue to seek after the other gods and you destroy the relationship that we have. In Hosea 3, 1 through 5, the last time she runs away, God tells Hosea, go find her. And the Lord said to me, Hosea, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though my people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. So I brought her back. I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. A lot of theologians think, because he had to buy her this time, she was on a slave auction. She had become so deplorable, nobody wanted her and was selling her as a slave. And so when Hosea found her, she was on this auction block and he was able to buy her for 15 pieces of silver or barley and some other goods. He bought her back. This is a picture of God. The picture of God buying us. Verse 3, then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even with me. This shows that Israel will be gone a long time without a king or prince, without sacrifices, sacred pillars, priests, or even idols. But afterward, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God and to David's descendant, their king. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. So Israel was without priest. Israel was without king for thousands of years. Then they were brought back to their land in 1948. Now, the last of this prophecy has not been fulfilled yet, where it says that in the last days they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. That has not come to pass yet. But it's going to, because God said it's going to. Okay? And listen to this passage in Isaiah 41. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions. Again, you see that in gathering of Israel. And said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Now for Israel, I can imagine that they thought, well, God has just cast us away. He won't have anything more to do with us. We have sinned too greatly. When I call to him, he doesn't answer. I can imagine they're feeling like God has just cast them away. But Isaiah told them that God would redeem them. 700 years before Jesus showed up. 2,600 years before they came back into their promised land. God shared with Isaiah, and Isaiah shared that this was going to happen. Do you know God doesn't really have a timeline? Well, he does, but we don't know it. We don't know what his timeline is. He brought them back, and the land of Israel was opened up to them again. God called them home. In this passage, Isaiah 41, God shares his heart with the people again, Israel. And if you listen to this, it sounds like a renewal of marriage vow. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that beautiful? And there are some things that God spoke to Israel that we can claim. There are some things that that spoke to Israel that we can embrace. And I believe this is one of those verses. This is not just spoken to Israel. This is spoken to the children, all of God's children. Verse 11 says, listen, behold, all those who are incensed against you. Who is incensed against Israel? Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, Russia. Many, many nations. I don't know if you saw it or not, but China has already removed Israel from the map. They have taken, the borders are still there, but the name Israel is no longer there. So, I don't know why they did that. I'm imagining, and they interviewed one of the guys, and, our website's specialists, they did that, and like they didn't know what was going on. But here's what I imagine they're thinking is that because of all of these other countries are coming against them, that Israel's going to be wiped out. That's what I'm thinking. That's right. But God. Because God has made so many promises to Israel. Behold, all these who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that incredible? I want to note particularly three life-changing acts of God in this, what we just read. Number one, Israel was chosen. Israel was chosen. We spoke of this a couple of weeks ago, how Israel was chosen by God to receive his message, to record his message, to copy his message, to distribute his message, and through their lineage, God's messenger, Jesus, would come. Also, a second word I need you to understand is this word redeemer. In verse 14, I will help you, says the Lord, your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. To redeem means to buy back. Just like Hosea went and bought Gomer back, and it cost him dearly to buy Gomer back. But he was willing to pay the price. And so the Redeemer, Hosea, went to the auction block, if that's where she was, bought Gomer back and brought her back to live with him. And he took care of her. He healed her wounds, I'm sure, and spoke gently to her and helped her to overcome. Did you know there's a lot of hurting people that look for love in all the wrong places? Did you know that? And they're looking for somebody to care. They're looking for somebody to love them. They're looking for someone to fill that void in their heart. But only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can heal the wounds. Only Jesus can fill the void. Only Jesus can cause you to feel love, even when you feel unlovely. Only Jesus can do that. And God says, just like Hosea brought Gomer back to him, I'm going to redeem you, Israel. How sweet is that? And the third word is the covenant. God will never break his covenant. He made a covenant with Israel, and it's an everlasting covenant. And regardless of what all the world says, or regardless of how many nations come against Israel, God will never, never, ever break his covenant. There's another group of people that's chosen by God. The Israelites are one. Christians are another. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Scripture said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's talking about us. He's talking about you. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us, say chose us, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption, say redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known to us the mystery of his will. I think I left out some for you guys, so Verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the truth of God, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, say guarantee, of our inheritance until the redemption, say redemption, of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Three words I want to call to your attention. The first one is chosen. He has chose you. Now, there are some people who think that we, the children, Christians, have replaced Israel, that Israel is no longer the chosen people, that we're the chosen people. But I want to assure you that not only are we chosen, but Israel is chosen as well. However, I just want to say this as well, because Israel is chosen, they still have to come to faith in God through Jesus Christ, just like we do, in order for God to accept them as his children. Okay? So they have to go through the same route. They have to go through the same person that we do. The common thought is that everyone is a child of God. Everyone was created by God. But it's only by receiving Christ and entering into covenant with him that you become a child of God and are adopted into his family. God is gracious and kind to everyone. No one is excluded unless you exclude yourself. God invites everyone, and the only way you're excluded is if you decline the invitation. The second word I want to call to your attention is the word redeemer. The redeem means to do what? To buy back. I heard a story once, excuse me. Good water, Bryce. Thank you. I heard a story once about a young boy. His name was Tom. And he was whittling and carving and making this little sailboat. And it took him months to make this boat. I mean, he wanted to get it just right. He created it. Go ahead to the next slide, if you would. He created it. He carved it. I mean, he was so proud of it. He painted it. He set the sails on it. And it was, I mean, to him, it was a thing of beauty. And he was so proud of it, he shared it with his parents. Look, and of course, they were pleased with him as well. He did such a good job. So he decided to take it on his test voyage. And so he took it on the voyage and went to the little river. And he had a string tied to the back of the boat. And he would set the boat in the stream. And it would, the wind would catch it and do its little, you know, twirling it about. And man, it was just precious to him. He loved to watch it. He loved to play with it. And it was just a delight for him to play with this little boat. Well, as he was playing with it on its maiden voyage, the string broke. And the wind carried it out into the stream that he could not reach it without getting over his head. And so he ran along the bank, picked up a stick and tried to bring it in, and he couldn't bring it in. And he ran along the bank crying because he had lost his boat and it was going down the river, and pretty soon he lost sight of it. And he went home brokenhearted. A few months went by. He was coming home from school, and every day when he came home from school, he would go through this by this little pawn shop. And as he was going by this pawn shop, he saw his boat in the window. It was tattered. The paint was chipped. The sail was torn. It was damaged. But he knew it was his boat. So he went into the owner of the pawn shop and said, "That's my boat. I would like to have my boat back." He said, "Well, it's going to cost you $2. He said, "But I made the boat." "Well, if you want it, it's going to cost you $2. So the little boy went home
he counted his change and he almost had enough. And so he went out and did some chores and got enough money to bring the $2 back. And he went into the pawn shop and he bought his boat back. He redeemed his boat. He took it home and he patched it up. He repainted it. He fixed the cell. Matter of fact, he made it better than it was to begin with. You know, that's a picture of what God does for us. He creates us. He made us. He made you. You belong to him. Because of the currents of culture and because of the currents of life and because of the currents of temptation, we kind of get away from him. The string breaks. And life beats us up. God is looking. God is watching. His eyes are on you. And he says, I want to bring them back to me. So he sends Jesus, the Redeemer, to buy us back. The only way he has to buy us is with his own blood. His blood was shed for us so that he could purchase you, so that you could come into his kingdom, so that you could be a child of God. He shed his blood to redeem you. He paid the price to buy you back. He's the Redeemer. And once you come back into his fellowship, he begins to heal our wounds. He begins to mold us. He begins to make us better than new. Old things are passed away, Scripture says, and behold, all things have become new. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. The third word I would like to bring to your attention is the covenant. We just read about it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the covenant. The gospel is where Jesus lived his life perfect without sin, died on a cross for your sin, shedding his blood, and then rising again 3 days later after he was killed. So that he could buy you back. Jesus bought you. And the covenant is this. If you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, whoever will enter into covenant with him by repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus as your Redeemer, you have a covenant relationship with him, just like Israel does, but better. God has chosen you. Will you choose him? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I encouraged a fellow who was in prison. He's on death row. I encouraged a fellow to go through Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. He was a new believer, and I said, would you go through Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and write down all of the promises that God has made you and everything that he has says that he's creating you to become, and you just write those down. So I would talk to him on the phone, and so every week he would share with me. I said, well, there's still more. He'd share with me. I said, there's more. He had a whole lot more than I did, but he just didn't have the ones I had. So I said, there's still more. And he did this for about a month. And after about 47 blessings, I said, I think you got it. I think you got it. And I encourage him to go through that periodically. Remind himself whom God has created him to be, because he's not the same person that he used to be. many of the promises, as I shared before, that of Israel are yours as well. God has, you are his servant. He has chosen you. You've not been cast away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, and you worm Brad, you men of Israel, you men of life change. I will help you, says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. What do you need to hold on to today? Do you need to open your heart to Jesus? Do you need to give him your life? Do you need him to bring healing to the wounds in your heart? What do you need from him? Would you call out to him? Would you make your needs known to him? Because he's the one who can provide. He's the one who can satisfy your longings. Father, I come before you today. Thank you for your word to us. I thank you for what you're doing for Israel. I thank you for what you're doing for us. And Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way and in our lives today. And God, that we would not just, we feel you tugging at our heart, that we wouldn't close you off, but Lord, we would acknowledge you. We would open our heart to you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.